Luke 19, we're going to start in verse 1, read down to verse 10. Join me in every other verse. Luke chapter 19, I'll begin in verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Together in verse 10, ready? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we continue our series, then Jesus came. This morning we look at this. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father, I pray now that you bless the preaching of your word. We always want to identify and realize that, Lord, we need your help. We talk about it, we preach about it, we teach about it. We also need to realize and conform to that. We need your help. Pray that you'd help us this morning. Bless the preaching of your word to the hearts of your people. There's one here this morning that's not your people, that's not born again. This morning, Lord, they would accept Christ as Savior. Pray now that you'd be with us. We ask in Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In our account here about Jesus and Zacchaeus, in our account, Jesus has left heaven to come to earth because he's here on earth there in Luke 19. Not only did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth, but Jesus comes to this. Now, to us, as we know the Bible and as we think about the Bible, Israel is this center of the world, as it were. But if you look at it in a historical setting, Israel is just a backwater country. It was a place, often it said, when a Roman governor was sent to Israel, he was sent there because of disdain, because he'd done something wrong. No one wanted to go to Israel. It was just an out-of-the-way desert country. And so Jesus didn't just come to earth, but he came to this country, Israel. Now, I know prophetically and biblically why he did that and the importance of it, but if you move yourself out of that and just look at it just in a historical or just a secular way, you'd think he'd go to Rome. He'd go to some big city or popular city or kind of place where the movers and the shakers are, but yet he comes to this little country of Israel. So he leaves earth, he comes down to this country, Israel, and when he's in Israel, he comes to this little town of Jericho. Not only did he come to earth, not only did he come to Israel, not only did he come down to Jericho, but watch this, he came at a time when Zacchaeus was there. Now, we think about the Lord working in our life. We have to understand there are no coincidences. There's no such thing as fate. There are no chance happenings. When the Lord intersects with us, when the Lord interjects himself in our life, it's not just a coincidence. It's not just like, well, hey, what do you know? Who would have thought? Well, I'll tell you who would have thought. God would have thought, because that's why he did it. So there's no coincidence. There's no fate. There's no chance happening for a believer when God is moving in his life. The truth is, God wants to reach into our lives, and he wants to make an impact in our lives. This is what the Lord wants to do. He purposely interjects himself into our lives. The question this morning is this. So let me watch this. The question isn't, is God trying to do something? Yes, I already tell you the answer. Yes, he is. That's not the question. Here's the question. Are we as his people, or even just, even if you're looking at as unbelievers, are we seeking after him? I tell you, whatever he's doing in your life, he's doing it on purpose. It's not a coincidence, not an accident. It's not an oops. The Lord purposely does things in our life. He has a plan and a purpose. The question is, are we seeking after him? Do we have a purpose and a plan to seek after him? Now, when we come to our story here about Zacchaeus, we see the Lord Jesus Christ making this effort, just like he makes an effort in each of our lives to seek after us. Now, let me just stop and say this. And a lot of times when we say that, we think positive. And there is a lot of positive things, and I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy. I don't want to be Nancy at all. I'm not... No offense, Mrs. Brenneman. I'm a guy. I don't want to be a Nancy. Okay, so we'll say negative Ned. How's that? So I don't want to be a negative Ned. Okay, so my fear is this. My fear is that we look at the Christian life in rose-colored glasses, and then when things don't turn out perfect, then we think, well, where is the God of in heaven? I mean, look at this. This bad thing happened in my life. And so I'm always careful that I don't want to paint the Christian life so rose-colored that when negative things happen that, you know, you think, maybe I'm not born again. Maybe God hates me. So I want to be careful of that. So the truth is, God works in our life in positive ways, in blessings, and good things, and his mercy, and his grace. But God also works sometimes in negative ways. Now, let me just stop and tell you this, because this may shock you. Sometimes when the Lord's trying to seek after you and work in your life, he sends you a disease. Because he knows, without it, you're not going to respond to him. I'm not saying every person has a disease, something's bad about going on in their life. I'm simply saying, don't look at everything only if it's positive, it's of God. If it's negative, it's of Satan. That's not the way you look at it. You have to understand that God, as a person, God is seeking me. He's working in my life. The question is, how am I responding? Am I seeking after him? So Jesus makes this effort to seek after us. Sometimes positive, sometimes negative, but he's always at work seeking, trying to get our attention, trying to draw us closer to himself. So I'd ask you this morning, what are we doing to seek after him? Now, when we come to this story of Zacchaeus, this series, Then Jesus Came, and we think about the Lord working in our lives, there's three things I want to bring to your attention. My hope, my prayer, my desire this morning is that we are seeking after him. I don't know. In a few moments or so, you'll walk out the door, you'll get in your car, and you'll drive home. I don't know what's going to happen in your car. Don't know what's going on in your house. I don't. Okay, this is not the Gestapo. We don't have little cameras and microphones. I have no idea what you talk about. I have no idea what you do. I don't know how you talk. There may be things that you may go home and pray and read your Bible. You may go home and cuss up a blue streak. I don't know. But I do know this, I believe this. I believe there are people sitting here who love the Lord, hopefully all of you, but maybe not, and who really want the Lord to work in their life. I believe you come to a church like this, not because it's popular, not because there's something special in the program, but I think you come because the Lord has spoken to your heart and you want to live for the Lord. You want to do something for the Lord. There's a moving of the Lord and you want to follow what the Lord is doing and become all that you can be and serve the Lord and be a soul winner and be a prayer warrior and know some things from the Bible. You want to grow in your spiritual life. I believe some are that way, maybe all are that way, but I believe that there is some who are that way. And so my thought with you this morning, the purpose of the message this morning is to look here at Zacchaeus, and if we are seeking after the Lord, to encourage us, to remind us, to admonish us of certain things. So if you go back with me to Luke 19, let me share with you the first thing. In verse 2, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was what? Rich. Now think about this. This is a rich guy. When you think of a rich guy, in our modern time now, you'd think of a guy probably driving a nice car, living in a nice house. Probably lives in some fancy upscale type of community like Avon Lake or something where all the rich people live. Just teasing the Steins there a little bit. Maybe he's driving a... Okay, I understand they don't have cars and such, but I'm putting it in our time so we understand. So he has maybe this fancy clothes, this fancy car, fancy house. I mean, we think of someone who's rich, who has all these fancy things, but notice what the Bible says in verse 3. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little stature, and he ran before, now watch,
and climbed up to a sycamore tree. How many times do you see rich people climbing up in trees? It's not the common thing, is it? That's an unusual thing. And he ran before and climbed up to sycamore to see him, to see Jesus, for he's passed that way. So here's Zacchaeus, this rich guy, but yet he's a short guy, and his desire to seek after him, he climbs up this tree just to see Jesus as he walked by. Well, that tells me the first thing. Number one is this: a seeking heart must make the effort. Now I'm going to give you a statement here, and this is maybe the statement of the whole message. If you get nothing else, please get this statement. The sincerity of your seeking, I'll say it again, the sincerity of your seeking will be evidenced by your effort. A lot of times we talk about seeking, but there's no evidence that we're actually doing anything to seek after him. If there is no effort, I would say you're not really serious about seeking the Lord. The sincerity of your seeking will be evidenced by your effort. So I ask you this morning, do you want God involved in your life? If you're that person who said, Pastor White, that is me. You were talking about it a moment ago. That is me. I want God to work. I have a desire for the Lord to work in my life. I love the Lord. I want to see him do something. Great. I hope that is you. Do you want God involved in your life? Do you want God's blessing in your life? This is something that motivates you, that you orientate your life around. Do you want God to use you in unique ways? When Brother Choma reads a missionary letter or someone comes and they give a testimony of what God has done or how they've led someone to the Lord or they've been able to do something for the Lord, does your heart burn and say, man, that's me, that's what I want God to use me? I hope that's the case with you, that you have that desire also for the Lord to use you. If that is you, if you have that desire, you want God to work in your life, you want God's blessing, you want God involved in your life, you want God to use you in some unique way, then let me ask you this. What effort are you putting in to make it happen? If that's you, if you're sitting here saying, I want God to work in my life, and I hope that is your prayer and your desire, I want Lord to work in my life, please Jesus, work in my life, then what am I doing to make it happen? I understand without him I can do nothing. I'm not saying that somehow that we accomplish these things in our own flesh, but I am saying this, if I'm sitting around all day on my hands doing nothing, simply saying, please, 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 God may be saying, but what are you doing about it? What are you doing to show me that you're really serious about this? Then you say, well, what kind of effort are you talking about, Pastor White? Well, how about this? What kind of Bible effort is there in your life? People say, well, Pastor White, that Bible is hard to understand. Number one, let me say this somewhat sarcastically. I believe this. This is my thought, my opinion. The number one reason that believers struggle to understand the Bible, they don't read it. Well, I just don't really understand it. Have you read that book of Hezekiah? I've read that book of Hezekiah 20 times. No, you haven't. There's no book of Hezekiah in here. The problem is we're not reading it. And because we're not reading it, we don't understand it like any other book. You know, I can go to the library and look at every book and say, I don't understand that, don't understand that, don't understand that, don't understand. Because I've not read any of those books. But first thing, I got to make some effort. I got to put some thought, some time into this. Now, I don't think the Lord expects you the first time you open the Bible to read it and be able to write, you know, some deep scholarly sermon just in 5 minutes of reading it. But I do believe the Lord expects you to put some effort in at least trying to read it and understand it. I think we ought to start the Bible reading this way. Lord, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Help me to understand it. Give me, Holy Spirit, give me wisdom. Give me understanding. And then open up and begin reading. And the things that you do understand, start with those things. And when you read the whole Bible through, read it again. And when you read it through the second time, read it again. When you read it through the third time, read it again. Just keep reading. Just keep seeking. Put the effort into it. What kind of Bible effort is there? You're wanting the Lord to work in your life. What effort are you putting in to show the sincerity of your seeking? What kind of prayer effort is there? Now, I'm not saying every prayer has to be a 10-hour prayer. And sometimes some of the greatest prayers are very short prayers. Peter was wanting to walk on water, and Jesus said, well, come on out of the boat. And Peter makes a couple steps, and then he gets his eyes off of Jesus, gets his eyes on the water, and what happens to Peter? He begins to sink. You know, when you're sinking, I don't know how quick he sank, but he had time to say a very short prayer. Lord, save me! 3 words. Prayer was answered. So it doesn't have to be a long prayer. But let me tell you, there should be some long prayers. I hope you pray before you eat. But if the only time your prayer life is, Lord, bless this food to my body, amen. Okay, if that's your entire prayer life, you're not putting much effort into it. Let me just say this. If you're serious about the Lord, there's sometime along the way that you need to fast and pray. What's that? That means you, when everyone else is eating, you get along and pray. You fast and pray. You put away the food and you seek the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean when you're done praying, then you go eat. It means you skip the whole meal. And you eat the next meal. If the next meal is in breakfast, you eat breakfast. If you fast breakfast, you eat maybe the lunch. Or you fast the lunch, then you eat the dinner. Or fast a whole day. You make the effort. I wonder how many times believers have we stayed up all night praying. Oh, Pastor White, man, I need my beauty sleep. Yes, I know. Trust me, you need your beauty sleep. But maybe one night isn't going to fix your problem. So anyways, yes, I understand we do need sleep at times. But sometimes we should be so desirous of the Lord. I do not have any intention to put myself on a pedestal. Several reasons. One reason, when you put yourself up, you make a better aim. People throw things at you. I don't want that. And number two is I don't want you to think that I'm this perfect person. I have plenty of failings. I don't always want to confess all my failings, but I'll tell you, I got plenty of failings. But I can tell you, there have been times in my life when I've wanted the Lord to work, and I've been desirous of the Lord to work, so much so I knew I needed to put in that type of effort. I've told you these stories. These are not new stories to most of you. I was getting ready to go off to Bible colleges. Summer of 82. I needed X amount of dollars to get there, and I had X. The X I had was zero. So how much I needed didn't matter. I had zero. But I wanted to go to Bible college. And I remember as a 17-year-old boy, living out on the farm out in the in Booth, out in Hildebrand, walking through the field late at night. My mom, my stepdad, my brother, all in bed. I would get up out of bed, go outside, and walk through the field saying, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, please. I don't know how it's going to happen. Lord, you got to do something. Hours out there praying. Now, the Lord provided, but I'll tell you this, I don't know if the Lord would have provided if I didn't put any effort at all showing my seriousness and my seeking. So I'm saying there has to be some effort if we're really seeking the Lord. There has to be Bible effort. There has to be prayer effort. What about this? There has to be a certain holiness effort. A holiness effort. We can't sit there doing things that we know we're not supposed to be doing, living like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, and saying, Lord, I'm seeking you, but yet our whole life imitates and mimics the world. Where's the effort in that? I'm telling you this morning, a seeking heart must make the effort. Notice what the Bible says here in Proverbs 2. My son, if thou receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so thou incline thy ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasures. Now look at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. This is what we want. And God says, but I expect some things from you. I expect some effort to go in if you want really what you say you want in this. A seeking heart must make the effort. Let me show you another verse, Matthew.
Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, in which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy there go, watch this, for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. In other words, if it's really worth it, you will put the effort in to make it happen. Now let's take a moment and let's apply this back to salvation. Because I think if we understand how it applies to salvation, maybe we can make the application to our life after salvation. Now, I'm changing, so I want you to stay with me. What would you do? Let's just say you're lost. And maybe this morning, maybe you are. Maybe you do not know Christ as Savior. If you do, just pretend with me that you don't. What would you do to stay out of hell? If you really believe that hell is what the Bible says, a place of fire and torment, a place you go and you never get out of, there's no, well, I'll be there for a while, then, well, the only time we see people coming out of hell is at the great white throne judgment when God determines really how bad your hell is going to be and then you're cast in a lake of fire. There's no escaping. The only thing that happens is it gets worse. So there's no escaping hell. So if you really believe that hell, according to the Bible, is a place of fire, a place of torment, a place of eternal damnation, what would you do on this earth to stay out of hell for eternity? Well, Jesus makes this argument. He makes it in a couple places. Look at Matthew. Matthew 5:29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. Imagine reaching in to your eye socket and ripping your eye out. Ugh. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, could you imagine laying your hand there and taking a big meat cleaver and just chopping it off? Oh. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. He makes this argument again in Matthew 18. Look at verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast in everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, if you really believe hell, then you would do whatever is necessary. If you had to cut off your hand, you'd cut off your hand. If you had to rip out your eye, you'd rip out your eye because you would not want to go there. You would make the effort. If that's really what you understood, hell is what hell is, you'd make the effort to stay out of it. But aren't you glad that's not what's required? Here's what he says in Acts. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you, builders, which has become the head of the corner. Then he says this, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if I really believed in hell, I'd do what is necessary. I'd cut off my hand, rip out my eye, cut off my foot. But here he says what's necessary is to come and accept Christ as your Savior. Aren't you glad it's that simple? But it's that's necessary. That's what you have to do. Well, if we understand that as salvation, then let's make the application now to our Christian life. What does the Lord want us to do to show our sincerity? What does the Lord want us to do to effort-wise to show that I'm really serious about wanting the Lord involved in my life? And so I would tell you this morning to those who are believers, don't talk about wanting God's blessing if you've never made any effort to seek after Him. Because you really don't want it. If you really believe hell was the way it is, and you won't accept Christ, then I don't think you really believe hell is the way it is. And if you really want the Lord working in your life as a believer, but you make no effort, you don't read your Bible, you're hit and miss in church, you don't pray, you don't really try to live holy, you don't really give yourself to the Lord, I'm going to tell you, I really don't think you're really wanting the Lord to work in your life. So if we're going to seek after the Lord, number one is this, a seeking heart must make the effort. Let me give you the second statement, number two.
Go with me back to chapter 19. And look with me in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he, Jesus, was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. That would be Zacchaeus. So number two, not only does a seeking heart must make the effort, but I want you to think about number two. Number two is designed to be a little bit more encouraging than number one. Number two is this: a seeking heart that makes the effort will find Jesus. If you make the effort, you're going to find him, because that's what he wants you to do. When you think about our church or any church, there's a lot of differences represented in a church body. Some have little kids, some have grown kids, some have grandkids. Some are financially secure, some are on financial thin ice. Some this morning, you're healthy as a horse, some you are ready for the proverbial glue factory. A lot of differences as we look at each other. There's extremes to every situation, and there's everything in between those extremes. There's a lot of differences that make up a church body. There's one thing, though, that's the same. I can start over here with Heather Goforth, go all the way over to Erica Schultz. I can tell you, every single person is the same when it comes to this. And that is, everyone in this room, everyone in the world, but everyone in this room has a need that only Jesus can meet. And here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. And if you seek him, you will find him. You have a need. Only Jesus can meet that need. And if you seek him this morning, you will find him. Jesus will either solve that problem, or he'll give you the grace to make it through that problem. But Jesus can meet that situation, that need. You will find him. Hebrews 4 says this: let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's an old song. I don't think it's in our song book, but some of you would remember it once I tell you the words. It goes like this: are your crosses too heavy to carry, and burdens too heavy to bear? Are there heartaches and tears and anguish, and there's no one who seems to care? Are there shadows of deep disappointment and trusts that have proven untrue? Has the darkness of night settled round you? Has your hope and your faith wavered too? Has the storm overshadowed your sunshine, and life lost attraction for you? Have the dreams that you cherish been broken? Is your soul filled with bitterness too? Then here's the chorus: standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the friend who always cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. Now that's a great promise we have from the Lord, that he says, find grace to help in time of need. That this is a promise the Lord gives us. If I truly seek him, if I truly make the effort to seek him, I'm going to find him, and I'm going to find that help that I need. I don't know what that help is always. It may be, I want this, and the Lord says, no, this is a better thing for you. This is more needful for you, but I'm going to find help in time of need. That's a promise. I can by faith go to the Lord. I can go boldly to the throne of grace. I can obtain mercy. I can find grace to help in time of need. This is a promise of God for every believer. Imagine with me this morning if Zacchaeus had stayed home. Imagine if Zacchaeus had got up that morning and they said, hey, you know what? Jesus is coming to town. He's coming to town. I'll catch him next time. Maybe it might not be a next time, Zacchaeus. Or imagine he went out there and there's a crowd and here's a short guy trying to get around. And he looks at that tree and he says, me? I'm climbing no tree. I mean, I got all this money. I got some stature, maybe not physical, but I got some social stature around here. I ain't climbing no tree. I'm going back home. And Jesus would have still walked through that town, still walked down that road, still walked underneath that tree, but Zacchaeus wouldn't have been there. If Zacchaeus had not made the effort, he would not have found Jesus. But if he would truly seek after him, truly make the effort, notice as soon as Jesus got under the tree, what did he say? Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down. Now, I don't know anything in the Bible that says that Zacchaeus actually expected this to happen. He just said, there's Jesus. I'm going to do the best I can to get as close as I can to him. And now Jesus sees him, and Jesus recognizes him, and Jesus calls him down, and they go home to dinner together. I'm telling you, a seeking heart that makes the effort will find Jesus. Jesus could have come and left Jericho, and Zacchaeus would have never had his need met, but yet he makes the effort. He seeks after Jesus, and he finds and has that need met. Let me just see if I can put just a little bit more of a finer tip on it. Right now, as we're sitting here at Grace Baptist Church on this December 8th, 2019, Zacchaeus is in heaven because he made the effort, he climbed the tree, Jesus saw him, he calls him down. And remember, he said, this day is salvation come. Zacchaeus was born again because he sought after Jesus. He made the effort and he found his need there. But if Zacchaeus had stayed home, if he hadn't climbed the tree, if he had made no effort, we would say in 2019, Zacchaeus is burning in hell. The difference is he made the effort, he found Christ. And those who have a seeking heart that make the effort will find Jesus. I'll come back to that thought in a moment. I want to move to this third thought and then tie it back to that one. Go back with me now to Luke 19. And look with me at verse number 8. So I'm saying a seeking heart must make an effort. Number two, a seeking heart that makes the effort will find Jesus. And then I want you to notice number three. Verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now, stop for a moment. Look back at verse 7. That he, Jesus, was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. The Jews did not like Zacchaeus. He was a sinner. They didn't look at him as a good man. They didn't look at him as a person who would help the poor, who would love people. But yet here in verse 8, he says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house. Not that he's doing these things and earning salvation, but this shows that he's sincere in his faith. And that's what he's saying. Truly, this is true. You see the results here. And Jesus said to him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That brings us to our third thought. Number three is this. A seeking heart that finds Jesus will be changed. Seeking heart has to make the effort. If you have a seeking heart that makes the effort, you'll find Jesus. And if you find Jesus, Jesus is going to change you. You can't hang around Jesus and still be the same. Doesn't work that way. In the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Moses going up into the mountain. And in the mountaintop, he talks with the Lord, and he comes down from the mountaintop. And when he comes down, anyone know what happened to Moses, what physically happened to Moses? His face shone, glowed. Now, how did that happen? Because he's in the mountaintop talking with Jesus. So you can't hang around the Lord without the Lord changing you. Here's what the Bible says about this in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 34. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come nigh him, near him. They were like, whoa, what is this? What happened? Well, what happened was he spent time with the Lord. And so I tell you this morning, I said, if you get one statement, get this. The sincerity of your seeking will be evidenced by your effort. If you can get two statements, here's a second one to get this morning. An open heart that encounters God will become a changed heart. You can come to Jesus just the way you are, and that's great. Just like you go to the hospital, you don't get well and go to the hospital. You go to the hospital sick. That's why you go to the hospital. You're sick. And you come to Jesus just the way you are. But when you come just the way you are, once you get there, you won't be the same. He begins changing you. 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Let me give you an example here. Let me give you a tale of two testimonies. Here's a testimony of Zacchaeus. Let's go back and look at it again. In verse 2. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which is the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Drop down to verse number 8. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He makes an effort. He finds Jesus. Jesus changes him. Go back to Luke 18. Go back a chapter. Let me show you another testimony. Because there's another man who comes to Jesus. He doesn't have an open heart. His lips say, I want God to work in my life. I want God to work in my life. But his heart isn't saying that. Here's a man who's not making the effort. Here's a man who doesn't truly have an open heart. He has the lip service, but his heart isn't open. Look with me in Luke chapter 18. Go down with me to verse 18. And a certain ruler, now we learn from Matthew, this is a rich young ruler. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now look at verse 19. Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Now watch this phrase, none is good save one, that is God. So the guy comes to him, basically, what can I do? I want to do good things to go to heaven. And Jesus says, you're not good. There's no one good but God. Basically, just like the Romans wrote, all have sinned. We're all sinners. There's none righteous. You're not going to go to heaven because of your good works. Well, the guy just keeps on going at it. And so Jesus mentions to him about the commandments. Look at verse 21. He said, this is a rich young ruler, all these have I kept from my youth up. That's called a lie. Jesus just said there's none good, yet this guy's claiming goodness. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, now, because he's going to try to show this guy his sin issue. Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now look at verse 23. Here's the different testimony. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now again, in Matthew, we learn that when he heard this, he was sorrowful and he leaves. So Zacchaeus says, hey, open heart, Jesus, speak to me. Oh yes, that's exactly it. Half my goods I give. I've stolen anything, fourfold return. The rich young ruler says, what? Huh? No way. I got a lot of money. I ain't going to be part of that. And walks the other way. The difference was the openness of the heart, truly seeking after him. What I'm telling you this morning is this, if you have a truly open heart seeking after the Lord will meet you, the Lord will meet that need, the Lord will do whatever that thing is in your life, either give you the victory or give you grace to deal with it, but also in the process, he's going to change you. You're not going to stay the same. The story is told, I think it's in Luke 15, about the prodigal son. The prodigal son comes straight out of the pig pen. From our understanding, if you follow Scripture, he's here eating. He's in the pig pen with these pigs, having pig stuff all over him. He gets up out of the pig pen and goes home to the father. When the father sees him a great way off, the father has compassion and runs to him and hugs him and kisses him. You know what that guy smelled like? He smelled like a pig pen. But the father loved him and had compassion. He didn't say, hey, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. You, oh man, go take a bath. No, he said, I will embrace you just the way you are. Can I tell you, at salvation, the greatest thing is this, that God will take you just the way you are. You don't got to fix yourself, clean yourself up. Come to Jesus, he'll take you just the way you are. But you know what happened when that father, after the father embraced him and had compassion? He said, put a ring on his finger, put a robe on him, put some shoes on his feet. What he's saying is this, now that you're back home, let's get you cleaned up. Let's start making some changes in your life. You can come to Jesus just the way you are, but once you come to Jesus, if you're truly seeking Him, He's going to start changing you. And if there's not change going on, you really don't have an open heart. You're really not seeking after Him. So I tell you again this morning, a seeking heart must make the effort. A seeking heart that makes the effort will find Jesus, and a seeking heart that finds Jesus will be changed. So I ask you three questions as we finish out the message. These questions you just need to ask yourself, answer yourself. Here's the first question. Are you seeking Jesus this morning? I'm glad you're here. I really am. I'm glad you're here. But if you're not seeking after Jesus, this is just an exercise, I guess, in futility for you. If you came for the song and dance, the song was nice. My daughter has a great voice. The dancing, so much we don't do here. I hope you came because you're seeking after Jesus. But if you're not, let me encourage you to do that. Maybe you didn't have anything else to do. Maybe there was nothing on TV, so you came this morning. I'm glad you're here. I really am. But I'm encouraging you to seek after Jesus. Are you seeking Jesus this morning? What need is there in your life that only Jesus can meet? Would you look to Him this morning? It may have weighed you down. It may be the hardest thing right now, the heaviest thing in your life right now. Would you look to Jesus? Would you truly seek after Him this morning? Here's the second question I'd ask you. And that is this. Are you willing to make the effort necessary to come to Jesus? Now, if you're not saved this morning, are you willing to confess your sin and be saved? That's a big step for some people. That's a big step for this rich young ruler. What? What? I've done all these things. What do you mean? I've kept all the commandments. No, you haven't, and neither have you. You're a wicked, filthy, vile sinner. If you stand for a holy God, your vileness will be just on display. You can't go to heaven with your sin. Your sin must be taken care of. And the only thing that washes away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power, yes, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Are you willing to make the effort necessary to come to Jesus? If you are already born again, how about what's your prayer life like? What's your Bible time? People say, well, preacher, I came to church and made the effort and nothing happened. It might take more than one time. You might have to spend an all-night prayer meeting. You might have to really get alone with the Lord. You may really have to seek after Him. Are you willing to make the effort necessary to come to Jesus? To seek, to find, to look to Him. And then here's a third question. Are you willing to let God change you? Because when you get near Him, He will. I think Brother Meyer said this. I think you're quoting Brother Connors. I think. It seems, from my memory, seems where it came from. But the statement goes like this. Most people have about as much as Jesus as they want. Because when you get too much, all of a sudden it becomes uncomfortable. I got to start changing. And I don't like the change because I like my sin. And so I'm going to stay over here because when I get closer to Jesus, He expects things. So I'm going to stay over here away from Him. There are some people like that. They have about as much Jesus as they can handle. But they don't have enough Jesus to meet their need. And that's the problem. Are you willing to let God change you? Change your priorities, change your relationships, a change of behavior. This is what Zacchaeus found. This is what we'll find when we seek after Him. So here's my final statement. A seeking heart that makes the effort will find Jesus and be changed. Would you pray with me?